Time to welcome back in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. And that sounds like an adventure with an air conditioner.
Oh, adventure is the operative word. Right? Everything we do.
Here's what happened, what was wrong. I did that during the day, and normally I make logs for the next week, and like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on Sunday afternoons. And so when I finished doing that and I sat down at like 6 o'clock in the evening, I said, oh, my God, I have to make up all the station logs for next week.
We didn't need air conditioning here yesterday, and today it is equally gorgeous. I hope it stays that way. When it gets really hot, I cannot eat. I know that sounds funny, but I really, like, my whole appetite goes. Interestingly, my four-and-a-half-year-old niece, her new word is appetite, and she uses it whenever she can. And so I just accidentally said, oh, I have no appetite. She says, you have no appetite? I said, no.
She's going to be a doctor when she grows up.
Well, her parents are doctors, but I have a hunch she's not going to be. Anyway, you never know. So I made salad Olivier, which has to be somewhat cooked, but you probably know it best as Russian salad. But in Russia, they call it salad Olivier. In other former Soviet republics, they have other names for it, but very often it's salad Olivier. And if you said salad Olivier to, say, an Azerbaijani, they would know what you were talking about. But in Europe, it's Russian salad, and I don't think as much of a mayonnaise-loving country as we are, we never somehow got onto the Russian salad kick. I love it. In Italy, I eat it all the time. Here, in the Russian restaurants in Brooklyn, for instance, or blah, 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 I rarely touch it. It has bad memories for me from when I was in the Soviet Union, which is already 30 years ago. But still, when you walked into a restaurant in Moscow, the table was already set with Russian salad or salad Olivier, and it was mayonnaise salad, so it was encrusted. It was disgusting. There is one place, and it happens, an Azerbaijani place. Are you laughing?
The crusted mayonnaise, which is, I believe,
encrusted, you know how
what
that
put me off mayonnaise for my entire life.
Really, it's maybe
gross.
One of the grossest things. Like,
possibly.
You go into a... Even in New York, you go into a deli, the first thing I look at is
crust.
What is going on with these salads, you know? If they're more than a few hours old, I don't want to eat them.
My mother once brought me milk with skin on it, and that was the end of that.
You mean warm milk?
It was warm milk, but it had skin.
Yeah,
it had the skin on the top.
Yeah. Oh,
that doesn't gross me out nearly as much.
That's funny. I used to like that skin.
Oh!
Yeah, a lot of people like that skin.
People.
There are people who like garlic, but she doesn't either, Marshall. So what can
we do? I do like garlic. I just don't like a lot of garlic anymore.
Anyway,
that's just being
back
old.
Back to salad Olivier. It's not exactly a catch-all. And actually, the original salad Olivier was invented by a chef, created by a chef, named Lucien Olivier. I always thought he was French. Happens he's Belgian, or there's a word, a Walloon. Is that what you call a French-speaking Belgian?
Oui.
And he was a chef in Moscow or in St. Petersburg, who remembers my history here. And he created the salad. But it was a very rarefied thing then. You know, it was made with, like, I'm not literally, but with ortolan, but, you know, songbird meat, and, delicacies. It was a bunch of delicacies with potato and mayonnaise. So these days, Olivier is usually carrots cubed, peas, potatoes cubed, a protein. I used leftover roasted chicken to make mine. I'll give you proportions in a minute. It needed a little zippity-doo-dah, so I added a couple of minced, very, very finely minced shallots. What else did I throw in there? So let me say it was one cup of carrots, and It's funny. I was thinking about, like, what am I going to tell everybody the size? And when I was officially a food writer, meaning having to go through an editor, not at the Daily News, because I was the editor, but in books, they would never let, the editors would never let me say, cut something into 1/3-inch dice. It's always 1/4-inch dice, 1/2-inch dice. But let me say, my carrots and potatoes were somewhere in between, 1/4 and 1/2. I would say 1/3 of an inch dice. 1/4 of an inch would be nice if you can get it that small. The important part, by the way, is that the carrots and the potatoes be cut into the same size pieces, meaning all the carrots the same size, all the potatoes. You're going to boil these separately. I boiled my carrots for about 6 minutes. That was enough to get them just tender. Drain them. I boiled the, so 1 cup of carrots, 2 cups, maybe 2.5 cups. It was generous, 2 cups. It was 2 potatoes. I used Yukon Gold, peeled, cubed, and then boiled until they were just tender, but really tender, though. I mean, you don't want potatoes to have any crunch left in them. And then I drained those, put that in my mixing bowl. 1/2 box of frozen peas. The new way I do peas for this and another thing I'm going to mention, talk about fried rice, is I boil them. I bring a pot of water to the boil, a small pot for a cup of peas, and I throw in the peas for 2 minutes and then drain them and then let them cool. I don't rinse them with cold water. You don't need to. They'll continue to cook a little bit, and they'll be just fine. So a cup of peas. As I said, two medium shallots, minced as fine as I can get them minced. 2 cups of chicken. Actually, just breast meat, because what I do is I roast the chicken, and we eat the dark meat one night, and then the next day, since we don't love white meat, but we do like chicken salad, so I use it for chicken salad. So 1 chicken can be 2 meals for 2 people. If you're more than 2 people...
Now, that's hilarious,
Arthur. You figure it out. What?
My grandmother used to eat the white meat and make the best chicken salad out of the dark meat.
We like the dark meat, so...
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with that. And I'm sitting here because I used to love dark meat, but now I'm totally white meat. And if you give me chicken salad made of dark meat, I will, with mayonnaise, I can just leave. I can just leave.
Well, I'm not doing it to you, so
okay.
Don't worry.
All right.
In fact, I even take we eat the leg, thigh joint, and the wing.
Right. Well, that's white. Wings are white. Eh.
For dinner when it's hot out of the oven. And then the next day I have all this nice white meat to make chicken salad. Of whatever kind of chicken salad, not, you know, Olivier, whatever. Anyway, so I decided to add dill at the end. Oh, and the mayonnaise, a copious amount of mayonnaise. I didn't measure. I was afraid to measure. It was probably at least a cup of mayonnaise.
But by the way, that is...
You could dilute that, I guess, with a little sour cream if you want. In fact, I'm asking in the Azerbaijani place where I love, love, love their salad Olivier, what they do. I don't know if I'll get an answer, but I can ask.
Do you know what? Sorry, Jill. This is a good moment, I think, just to mention. You do find a taste difference in low-fat mayonnaise and low-fat sour cream, right?
I never use low-fat sour cream, so I don't really want to comment on that.
Okay.
I don't use that much sour cream that I can't afford to use full-fat sour cream when I use it.
Right.
And enjoy it. As far as the mayonnaise goes, I was, for the longest time, and using Hellmann's olive oil mayonnaise, which is actually lower in fat than the regular mayonnaise, maybe not as low as their light mayonnaise, which I don't think tastes like anything. Whereas the olive oil mayonnaise, using it as glue for tuna fish, I'm not sure if I wanted my whole salad Olivier made with it. So let me say, a cup. So I added eggs to this, too, because I wanted to stretch it out, but I stretched it out too much. So I added 6 hard-cooked eggs, and I added a lot of dill, and I added some vinegar, extra vinegar, In fact, next time I do this, I'll probably mix the vinegar in with the mayonnaise before I even add it. And maybe I'll doctor up the mayonnaise with a little bit of, I don't know, a few drops of Worcestershire sauce, maybe. But that's it. And that, you know what? It's really delicious. I made so much. Unfortunately, we're going to have to eat another major meal of it today. I probably should have invited some people over to enjoy it with us. It was very good. We sliced up. We're finally getting some field tomatoes, great tomatoes I got yesterday, and lettuce and good bread. There's a good meal. So here is my new thing is fried rice, which I was thinking about is very similar to salad Olivier from another culture, because you can also cobble together fried rice from what's in the fridge. However, my basic fried rice these days is, again, a half a box of this is for 3 cups of rice. And I read a whole bunch of recipes in my cookbooks. I went online and I read some recipes. And before I made the rice, when I'm still contemplating this, I'm walking down the supermarket aisle and a Chinese woman stopped me and asked me about vinegar. I should say Chinese American. She spoke perfect Brooklyn English. But, you know, I could tell ethnically she was Chinese. So she was making chimichurri, and her recipe on her phone called for sherry vinegar. And there was sherry vinegar in the supermarket. However, it was twice the price of red wine vinegar. And she wondered, couldn't she substitute? I don't know why she picked me to ask. But she said, "Do you know anything about vinegar?"
I said, "You look reliable, I'm sure."
I look, yeah, you know, I'm a big guy. So, and also, I'm, you know, I read labels, so maybe she saw me reading labels. And anyway, she said, so I talked to her about vinegar, and I told her, no, just use red wine vinegar. And then I said, well, can I ask you about fried rice? Do you know anything about fried rice? And right away, she said, the most important thing is that the rice has to be dry, and you shouldn't use freshly cooked rice. Better rice from the refrigerator. She said you could even use your takeout rice the next day to make fried rice. And this is the best fried rice advice I can give that she gave me. And I didn't follow her advice while I was at my nephew's in Philadelphia. One day I made fried rice because Michelle's, his wife's, nearly favorite food is fried rice. But I made the rice and I did spread it out on a tray so it would cool quickly, but it really wasn't made far enough in advance. When I put a paper towel down on the top, it still had got moisture on it. So you really want to have dry rice. You make your rice, and if it's for fried rice, when it's done, turn it out onto bigger than the pot itself. And let it cool down, and then start, once it's cooling, then start separating it and breaking it up, and you want nice individual kernels of rice that are dry. So that's really the best advice. The other thing, the other hard thing about fried rice is when do you add the egg? So there's a lot of different theories on this. The lady in the supermarket said, that was her second thing, was now the egg, she said. She cooks the egg separately first and then adds it back into the rice. But Craig Claiborne, in his Chinese cookbook of 50 years ago, writes about how to pour the beaten egg over the rice and stir it in. Make like a well in the middle and do that. I've also tried just pushing the rice aside and then frying the rice. I've decided I don't like the pouring over method so much. And I'm next time I'm going to do what the lady told me to do, which is I'm going to cook the egg first, take it out of the pan, and then add it back in. Now I beat my egg for 3 cups of rice. I use 1 cup of peas. And I would say at least 4 scallions, cut relatively thin. Nice if you can decoratively do it on the bias, on an angle. and use as much green as you can salvage from the tops and the bottoms, 3, 4, even 5 scallions. You know, it depends on the size of the scallions, too. Use your judgment on how much you like scallions. And so that's the scallions. There's the peas. They've been cooked for 2 minutes. Then you need to add a protein besides the egg. Oh, by the way, for 3 cups of rice, I use 3 eggs and about a quarter teaspoon, tiny bit more maybe, of sesame oil, just to flavor the eggs a little bit. And
how do you make them? How do you make them?
I'm going to tell you how to make them. So I would put like 2 tablespoons, 3 tablespoons of a neutral vegetable oil in a large pan, meaning a 12-inch non-stick pan. It's my big non-stick pan. And pour in your rice and keep tossing it around in the hot, get the oil hot in the hot oil until all the rice is coated with oil and sizzling away in your pan. And then add the scallions and the peas, and your protein. Now, for me, the protein is, I can buy here in Brooklyn, no problem. I go to a Chinese roast shop, and I get real char siu roast pork. That's that sweet, you know, roast pork that we love, unless you're kosher. And by the way, there's a kosher version of this made with veal. Can buy in a kosher supermarket. You can make Chinese roast veal, but I also make pork tenderloin sometimes, and I could about a half a pound of pork tenderloin that I cook with an Asian marinade, which I've talked about before, is terrific in this. And then so you add the protein and keep tossing till everything's very well heated through, and finally you add back in your egg. Or you push everything to the side, and you scramble your egg on the one side of the pan, and then you mix it in with the rice.
Okay, and do you
chicken is good in there, of course.
Right, you can use a little thin slices of beef.
Ham.
Yeah, you can use anything.
Anything.
Really, anything.
If you want to make it vegetarian, put in hard cooked egg.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And not scrambled, as well as scrambled eggs.
All right. Now, this is I know this is stupid, but let's talk about scrambling. Do you mix up your egg first? When do you put the sesame?
Yes, I'm sorry. I just beat the egg with a fork, and then, like I said, for 3 eggs, about a quarter of a teaspoon of sesame oil. If you don't have sesame oil, don't worry about it. By the way, so soy sauce seems to be a controversial addition to Chinese fried rice, according to Chinese people I've talked to about this. It's my new fixation. And some people say don't ever put soy sauce on the rice until after it's all cooked, because it'll only deter the rice from doing what it's supposed to do, is now dry rice. Other people do add a dash or two of soy sauce, but be careful. Don't let it land in one spot, you know. It'll just soak up into the rice.
And that'll be that, right.
Distribute. And the other thing is, you could also add a little bit of soy sauce to the eggs, if you like. Another thing you could add to the eggs, if you like, is, if you happen to have it on hand, is a little rice wine. So, like, maybe, you know, a tablespoon for 3 eggs, a tablespoon of rice wine, and a quarter teaspoon of sesame oil makes the rice have a nice Chinese-y flavor. And a couple of drops of soy sauce. Or serve the soy sauce at the table. You don't need anything else with this, because it's, after all, got a protein, it's got vegetables, the peas and the scallions. You certainly have plenty of carb there.
There's a Chinese...
I would say three cups of cooked rice is enough for minimum 3 people, maybe 4.
Yeah, it depends on what else you're having, if anything.
Well, if anything. We just had fried rice the other day for dinner, and we were... 6 people and with 6 cups of rice, and it was leftovers.
And a salad, or just fried rice?
No, we just ate it like that.
Yeah. Okay. No, listen.
Perfectly good lunch. I don't need to eat salad.
Oh, I thought it was dinner.
Oh, I don't remember what hour we ate it, but it was.
Oh,
it was,
no, but
it was Pardon me?
I had a friend, just a lawyer friend back in city working days, and he determined way back when that the most economical lunch you could get, basically, was a Chinese lunch. Because there so much food for so little, and, you know, you didn't have to be egg roll and spare. You know, you could get basically steamed broccoli, a little bit of chicken, and some fried rice, and you had food for days, and it was...
Well, let me say, I go, if you come on a Brooklyn tour with me, I'll take you, to a place called King's Kitchen. There are two, actually. One of them has tables, and the other one's mainly takeout. Maybe there's one table. The other one has waiter service. And for $5.25, you get a huge plate of rice with your roast of choice, char siu. Could be what they call roast pig, which is not the sweet kind, but the kind with the roast pork with the crispy skin. Could be chicken, there's soy chicken, there's salt-baked chicken, duck, your choice, and a vegetable, whatever the vegetable is that day. Whatever it is, I have to tell you, even if it's just cabbage, it's the best cabbage you've ever eaten. It's just steamed cabbage. I don't know what they do to it that makes it so good. And that's it, for $5.25. And by the way, it's more rice than you should eat, so you might want to even take home some of the rice.
Right. No, I would.
And then you can make fried rice.
Exactly. Now, and this is.
And you can add other. You know, it's a great kid thing because you can add diced other vegetables, zucchini, carrots. I find kids love carrots.
That's because.
So if you want to get them to eat some carrots and make the rice look prettier. That's a great addition.
It's funny. I always have rice in my refrigerator because sometimes I'll saute up or roast some peppers and onions and mix it with the rice and have that.
Ooh.
Sometimes I'll like I had some steak. I had some steak left over, so I took some steak and onions and just sauteed.
You never make fried rice?
What? I don't make fried rice out of it. No,
I
don't.
Weird.
I know it's weird because I like fried rice, but I got a feeling. If I'll screw it up, and then I'll have to throw it all away.
No, it's easy.
No, you won't screw it. There's no way to screw it up.
There's no way to screw it up.
The rice isn't dry enough. I'm telling you from experience.
No, because
that was the best advice I got. The rice has got to be old rice.
See, I'm a big... When I get through the year and get really bored with potatoes, and don't get me started on how bad potatoes are in stores, thank you very much.
Wait, don't get me started.
No, don't get me started, because we got started before, but I'm just, everything that they're okay, yesterday, for example, at the market, I'm looking for a sweet potato, and I moved the top layer, and underneath are wet sweet potatoes, because...
Oy.
Exactly. Oy. And so I went to the, like, the managerette, and I said, you're not going to like today's complaint, but someone's got to deal with this because by tomorrow, it's going to be really disgusting. It's disgusting now, but...
Yeah, no. My complaint is different because I'm more often buying white potatoes, but they're often green white potatoes. And I even in my new fancy market around the corner here that I'm really liking for a lot of other reasons... I got to work through the potatoes underneath at the bottom to find the ones that aren't green. And I said something to the produce manager, a really nice guy who's really trying to do a great job there, and say most everything looks good, except the potatoes. And I said, well, they're in glaring light here. He says, I can't help it. It's the way he designed the store.
Yeah. I don't know. I live for the day that I can slice open a potato, you know, because I eat mostly white. And I can't see where it's going to sprout. You know,
anyway, yes, rice is reliable, but I must say, as a diabetic, of all the carbohydrates, it's the least healthy. I don't want to use that word. I shouldn't say healthy. It's not unhealthy, but it's strictly calories. It's strictly carbohydrates.
Yeah, good.
Whereas pasta has protein, and potatoes have some vitamins, and naturally vitamin C, and minerals, and roughage if you eat the skin.
Mm.
So... I basically save rice for Asian moments. I don't cook Asian very much. I made risotto, you know, this spring with asparagus. I couldn't help myself. But basically, it's a reserve for Asian food. By the way, my pigeon family is having another. Do you say a brood?
Yes, brood.
A brood. It's having its second brood. The second brood is about to emerge, I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, why not?
Well,
I don't know how many pigeon watchers we have in the audience here, but this has been fascinating to me, watching these. They're occupying a deserted house.
There you go.
As soon as the new occupant moves in, they will have to be gone, I'm sure.
Yes. All right.
And they're sort of messing things up, too, you know? Pigeons are not clean.
No. All right.
All right. On that note. I know what I have for lunch. I have more salad Olivier.
Okay.
What a surprise. All right.
It does turn out to be a lot of salad Olivier.
All right. Enjoy it.
Bye.
Bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can hear Arthur live every Monday and rebroadcast during the week and on the weekends as well.